Hey church, go ahead and get your Bibles out, and we're going to be in John chapter number 8 this morning, the book of John chapter number 8, and wonderful, thank you fellas for that good song. Justified just means just as if I'd never even sinned, and praise the Lord for that. And John chapter number 8, and the scripture reading will go right along with that song this morning, and I appreciate them getting that together this week. John chapter number 8, verse number 1, your Bible says this: Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It's an amazing passage of Scripture, isn't it? We find here some men, some religious folks, if you will, scribes and Pharisees, the Bible says, holding stones in their hand, ready to throw them at this woman for her sin. They bring her to Jesus, for Jesus to give what should be done to this woman. They were trying to trick Jesus, trying to catch him in a back him in a corner, if you will. And Jesus just kind of ignores them, and he begins to write in the sand. And then he just says this phrase. He says, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then we find in verse number 9, after these men were convicted, that the stones were dropped and they went away. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach a message entitled this, Drop the Stone. Drop the stones. Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Father, I pray that you'd help me as I preach this morning. I need your help. God, in and of myself, I'll fail you, and I know that, Lord. But, Lord, I've planned and prepared, and, Lord, I've prayed for this message. But, Lord, it's all in vain unless your power, Lord, is inside of me and uses me to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would please have your will and way in this service. Lord, for those that don't know you, I pray that you'd save them this morning. And God, for those that are away from you, God, I pray that you would bring them back close to you. Those that are in this place that are holding stones in their hand, ready to cast them at another, God, help them to drop the stones this morning. And God, I pray that you'd do the work that only you can do. We yield this service to you. I pray that you'd use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story this week that I felt will help explain the truth of this message. The story goes like this. A man had painted a sign advertising some of his puppies for sale. He began to post on his pole that was in the front of his yard that puppies for sale, newborn puppies, and as soon as he gets the last nail in the paper, there's a little tug on his pant from a little boy, and he said, Mister, I want to buy one of your puppies. And the man said, Well, son, he says, unfortunately, these puppies are from fine parents, and they're quite expensive. The boy dropped his head for a moment, and then reaching down into his pocket, he pulled out a handful of change, and he said, Sir, I've got 39 cents. Is that at least enough to take a look at the puppies? And the farmer, he said, Son, he said, I guess that'll do. And so he whistles, and he calls for Dolly, and Dolly was the mother of the puppies, and so here comes Dolly, and here comes four little puppies behind Dolly's. And they come up to the little boy, and the boy's just kind of staring at the puppies. He's excited to see them. And then he notices something else stirring inside the doghouse. And All of a sudden, there was another one, quite much smaller than the other four puppies, and the little puppy come running out, and a lot slower, a lot smaller, and the little boy said, "Sir, I really want that puppy." And the farmer said, "Son, to be honest with you, you don't want that puppy. And that's just the run of the litter. He's never going to be able to run, and he's never going to be able to fetch, and he's never going to be able to keep up with you as you grow and you run and play. He's never going to be able to keep up with you. He's just the run of the litter." And as the farmer said that, that little boy begins to pull up his pants on both sides, and he reveals a steel brace running down both sides of his legs and attaching itself to a specially made shoe. Looking back up at the farmer, he said, "You see, sir, I don't run too well myself, and they'll need someone who understands him." I read that story, and I couldn't help but think about this woman, caught in the act of adultery, a sinner, if you will. We're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinners this morning. And this woman, she needed somebody that understood where she was at. She needed someone that understood, and I'm thankful this morning that we have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ who loves sinners, and He understands us just like we are. The Bible says many times throughout the Scripture that Jesus sat among sinners. He eateth with them. That wasn't that Jesus condoned their sin. God's a holy God, and He never condones sin. He hates sin, but He loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. He hates sin. But He knows what we are made of, and He knows what we face in our life. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter number 103, and in verse number 14, "For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are but dust." Let's condone sin. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to forgive sin. He's not condoning anyone's sin this morning, but He does choose to forgive our sins if we confess our sins. The Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus Christ knows how to relate to each and every person under the sound of my voice. He knows what we go through. He knows what we face. He knows about the temptations that we have. Listen, you say, "How do I know that?" He knows that. The Bible says that He came and humbled Himself and became a man for some 33 and a half years. He humbled Himself. He walked in this earth. He was tempted like we too are tempted. He was acquainted with grief like we are acquainted with grief. He knows how to sympathize with people like us, and I'm thankful for that. In this text, we learn of a story. The story of a woman that was caught in her sin. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to show their knowledge of the law by stoning this woman to death. But we find Jesus, rather than stoning her to death, offering forgiveness and love. As a result of Jesus' response to this woman, we find her accusers dropping the stones that they were ready to throw at her. And so I want to try to look at this text and help each and every person that's in this room. There's many, many pictures in this story. There's a woman that needed a relationship with Jesus, and maybe you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your greatest need is to be saved. We are sinners in the eyes of God. We are sinners, and because we're sinners, we owe a great sin debt. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." But it doesn't end there. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is salvation. But there's other pictures in this story as well. And Jesus gives us the attitude of how we are to respond to people that are in their sin. And Jesus teaches the scribes and Pharisees about forgiveness and how to drop the stones. Maybe you're here this morning and you're carrying around stones. And somebody's hurt you, somebody's let you down, somebody's discouraged you, and you've got a stone in your hand. You're not maybe physically fixing to throw it at them, but in your hand, you're ready to. I want to preach to everybody this morning. I trust it to be a help. Notice, first of all, the sinful woman. The sinful woman. We notice her sin. According to the narrative of Scripture, she was caught in the very act of adultery. She was guilty before the face of the Lord and before the world. Now listen, adultery is a vile sin, is it not? But friend, it's no worse than any other sin in God's eyes. Come on now. What's the Bible say? James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of what? All of it. And so we as individuals, we like to label sin and define how big sin is. But in all reality, this woman was caught in the very act of her sin. She was exposed for it. And we are no different than this woman. Although we may not be caught in the very act of adultery like this woman, our sin that's in our life, listen, I know who I'm talking to this morning, our sin that's in our life still hung the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Come on now, he still hung him on the cross, and we ought to be careful not to throw stones at people that are caught in the big league sins, if you will, like adultery. Your bitterness, your anger, your hatred, your frustration, your pride, it's still just as wicked and ungodly in God's eyes. Listen, if it were not for the grace of Almighty God, listen, we would all... Every single one of us would be in the same situation as this woman. May we be careful not to carry around the stones and ready to judge someone else. Listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be just like this woman. Listen, she was a sinner. And listen, I'm looking at a bunch of sinners this morning. You may not be guilty of the big league sins, and praise be unto God for that, but for the grace of God. I'm thankful this morning for his grace. We see her sin. She was caught in the very act of adultery. But notice her shame. In their haste to bring this woman to Jesus, her accusers, they hastily, the Bible says she was caught in the very act. Could it be, I'm just trying to dissect the text, could it be that they didn't even give her a sufficient time to get properly dressed? They humiliate this woman. They bring her out into the public. And sometimes, don't we want that for people that hurt us? We want them humiliated. We want them exposed. We want their life to be miserable. And that's what these religious folks, these scribes and Pharisees, wanted. They wanted her to be exposed for their sin, for her sin. And that just reminds me to this morning that, listen, no matter how skillfully we are at hiding sin and before the Lord, it always gets revealed. Listen, the best way to live your life is clean before the Lord. Clean. An open book. You know why? Because sin always destroys. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys friendships. Sin hurts the cause of Christ. And this morning, I'm telling you, if you're involved in a sin, if you're involved in a sin, the best way you can live is to confess it and forsake it and run to the very one that can offer you mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, they caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Her sin was exposed. Her shame was there. Listen, and sin always brings us a wound and dishonor that fadeth not away, is what the Bible says. Sin always brings shame and reproach to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see her sin, we see her shame, but notice her sin, it's her absolutely correct. According to the law, she deserved to die. She deserved to die, but there was one small problem. Where was the man in this story? Where was the partner in this story? Both were supposed to die for this sin. Could it be that this was a part of a big scheme to attack Jesus? He may have been allowed to slip away. But nevertheless, this woman was guilty for her sin and she deserved to die. Let me just say this, nobody gets away with sin. Nobody. The penalty for sin always comes due. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, and be sure your sin will find you out. There is always a payday someday. There's a high cost to low living, and the only hope anyone has that has sin in their life is to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers the only hope. He offers mercy to anyone that'll come to him. In their effort to humiliate this woman and to discredit the Lord, they brought her, though, listen to this, they brought her to the best possible place they could have brought her. They brought her to the very man that could deal with her past and deal with her problems and who could truly make all right. Let me just say this morning. Never think that Jesus doesn't care for you. Never think that Jesus isn't concerned about you or what you go through. He's not concerned about the temptations you face. Listen, the devil is real. The Bible says he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And listen, he's always walking about seeking whom he may devour. He never stops walking. And that's why the Bible says to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He wants to destroy your life. Jesus knows that, and he cares about what you're facing with him. Never think that Jesus doesn't care. And so these scribes and Pharisees, these religious folk, they wanted to bring this woman for Jesus to condemn this woman. But instead, she finds mercy. She finds grace. She finds compassion. And that's what Jesus does for sinners. He forgives, and he helps you get past the sin. We see the sinful woman, but notice the scheming critics. In John chapter number 8, look at verse number 3, the Bible says, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." I hear a tone in that verse, don't you? Listen, there's nothing worse than religious folks that are up here. Nothing worse than that. We're sinners saved by the good grace of God. Master, she was taken in adultery in the very act. Now they're going to tell Jesus what the law says. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Notice their plan. These men had in their heads to pin Jesus on the horns of a dilemma. If Jesus was to let this woman go, then he would be portrayed as being easy on sin. And really, he could be arrested for being in violation of the law. If, however, he gave permission for the woman to be killed, he could then be accused before Rome as being a seditionist, and he would have to, ultimately, it would destroy his reputation of being a friend to publicans and sinners. And they felt that no matter how they approached it, they had Jesus backed in a corner. Listen, these religious men, these scribes and Pharisees, are just like some in our day. They could care less about this woman. It's a sad place to be for church-going folks to not care about sinners. Oh, yeah. Well, we get so religious, if you will, that we have our suits and we have our ties and we know how to sing and we know how to give and we know how to do everything right. And somebody comes in here, doesn't smell the best or doesn't have the nicest clothes, or they maybe had to ride a bus in here, and we look down at them. God help you, friend. It's a sad day we get to the place where we don't care for sinners, and that's where these men were. They could care less about this woman. They could care less about her sin. They could care less about her soul. They could care less about her eternal destiny. All they cared about was pressing their agenda, pushing their program. And listen, I'm calling on First Baptist Church this morning for us to see people like Jesus sees people. He sees them different than we see them. Jesus didn't see a woman caught in the very act of adultery, although he knew everything about her. He saw a sinner in need of his saving. That's what he saw. And may we see each and every person that we come in contact with, whether in this building or out in the world, we see people as Jesus sees them. They are sinners in need of saving. Listen, the world is filled with a sin problem. It's filled with the sin problem. Listen, we are sinners, and because of that, we need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we at First Baptist Church never get so high and mighty in our religiosity that we can't see the need of a sinner and say, man, they need a saving. They need Jesus to come into their life, because when He'll do so, all things will be better. Everything will be better when Jesus changes their life. Everything will be different. This woman needed Jesus in their life. But these scribes and their Pharisees, all they had was their stones in their hand ready to kill this woman for her sin. That was a wicked plan. But notice their problem. Their plan might have succeeded with an ordinary man. But they wasn't dealing with any just ordinary man. They were dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he refused to play by their rules. When they tried to stump Jesus, I love what Jesus did. He didn't immediately try to bow up at them and try to prove that he was God. You know what he does? They got the stones in their hand. They're saying, hey, Moses said we should stone the woman. What sayest thou? Jesus just kneels down. He begins to write in the sand. They were ignored. He ignored these people. It's almost like he didn't even hear them speaking. You know, the Bible says sometimes to answer a fool not according to his folly. You don't have to respond to every single person. That's right. Jesus just kneels down in the sand. You ever wonder what he wrote? People's been trying to figure that out for 2,000 years.
What did he write? I'll tell you one thing. Something that he had to have written on there.
It got these fellows' attention. Didn't he? He's riding in the sand, paying them no attention. They've got the stones in their hand. He's riding in the sand. And then he just looks up at them and says, ye that be without sin, cast the first stone at her. And then he goes back to riding. You know what he did? He got their attention. Let me just say this. It's far better. It's far better for us to recognize our sin, confess it before the Lord, before he has to do something to get our attention. Well, I don't know what he wrote, but I do know what he said, and it got these fellows' attention. Listen, he knows how to speak to your heart. How much better is it to come to him in faith and ask him for forgiveness? They were ignored, but they were also exposed. Jesus says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, Jesus wasn't requiring that any judge be sinless. If that was the case, then no human would be able to ever render judgment to anyone, not even in the court of law. But I think what Jesus was ultimately saying to these hypocrites, he says, he that is free from this particular sin, let him first cast a stone at her. You see, adultery can be committed with the head and the heart just as sure as it could be committed with the body.
What's the Bible say? According to the law, anybody caught in the very act of adultery, stone them to death. But what's the New Testament? What's grace say?
You look upon a woman and lust after her. You've committed adultery in your heart already. Again, what? Guilty before all? Guilty of all? And at this point, when Jesus said these words, you that be without sin, this particular sin, cast the first stone at her. At this point, the crowd's silent. Nobody's speaking. They're no longer pleading their case before the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what you do here? Rocks dropping. You hear feet shuffling as they get out of Dodge. You see, these men had been exposed before their fellow man. They had been exposed before this ungodly lady. And ultimately, they had been exposed before the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess we can give these men some credit for the fact that when they saw themselves as Jesus saw them, they wanted to make a change. They stopped calling for the death of this woman. And what I want you to know this morning, First Baptist Church, is one of the hardest things for you to do is to face yourself as you really are. When you see yourself as being sinful, then you can do something about it. When we're convicted of our sin, then's the time to run to Jesus, confess our sin, and find his forgiveness. These men, after Jesus exposed them, they saw that they were no better than this woman. And if we would look at people and realize that we are no better than them, if it wasn't for the Lord in our life that changed us, may we not be up here. May we realize the ground's level at the foot of the cross. So we see the scheming critics, see the sinful woman, but notice the last thought this morning. Notice the sympathetic Savior. In verse number 9, Jesus, the Bible says, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last." Good right there. Sometimes it's the older Christians that need to set the example, right? The eldest, even to the last, one by one, they recognized they were sinners. They found their place at an altar and said, "God, I've been looking at people the wrong way. I've been holding this stone in my hand." And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And then the Bible says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." First of all, I see that Jesus faced her. Only Jesus could have cleared the temple after the fashion when the last rock had hit the temple floor. Jesus stood up and he faced this sinful woman. As he stood before her, he was truly the only one the world has ever seen that had the right to throw a stone at her. Right? The only one. He's the only one that had the right to throw a stone at her. He could have thrown not only one, but he could have thrown all of them. When she faced Jesus, she was facing the ultimate judge. She had reached a place in her life. According to this text, it was just her and the Lord. Ain't that what your Bible says? Jesus was alone and the woman was there. Ultimately, it always comes down to just you and Jesus. About your sin, yes. But about your salvation as well. Listen, I can't stand before God with you trying to plead your case to Him. The Bible says that we'll all give an account of ourselves before God. Let me ask you this morning. What are you counting on to get you to heaven when you die? Is it being a good person? Is it being baptized in the water? Is it being a part of a good church? None of those things will save you. The Bible says salvation is in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way to heaven. You may have come out expecting to hear a truth from the Word of God about how it just comes down. Ultimately, at the end of your life, it comes down to what you have done with Jesus. What have you done with Him? Have you accepted His free gift of salvation? You see, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. Then He went to the cross of Calvary. He died for your sins and my sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And at the end of our lives, it comes down to what have I done with that free gift? A gift has to be received, doesn't it? Christmas is just right around the corner. I don't know how many days you got left of shopping, but you better get on it. You're going to give a gift. This Christmas, that person you give that gift to, what do they have to do? They have to receive that gift. You can't just say, "Hey, I got you a gift," and then the gift, it'll just sit on your shelf. Now they have to go and receive that gift, open it up. Same thing with salvation, friend. Jesus has given you a gift in eternal life. You see, you're going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. It's real places. Not figment of our imaginations. It's not just something we read about in this book. No. It's real, literal places. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And the what determines where you go is what you do with Jesus. Do you accept His gift of salvation or do you reject it? To reject the gift of salvation, according to my Bible, which we know is truth, spend eternity in a place called hell. But to accept Jesus, what's the Bible say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come to Jesus by faith and say, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm no better than that woman. I may have not done adultery, but man, I have lied, I've cheated, I've stole, I've cussed, I've drank. Man, I've done all kind of stuff, Lord. Do we need to continue on? We're sinners. We're sinners. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. I need help to get there. He says, you come by my son, Jesus Christ. I'll take you there when you die. So you need to be saved. That's when you'll find forgiveness. Listen, you say, well, I'll cross that bridge when I go to my dead. You're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. It's here, and then it's gone. And at the end of your life, it comes down to the decision, what did you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you accept him, or will you reject him? This lady finds herself, just her and the Lord. He faced her, but notice number two, he forgave her. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, she said, the Lord asked her, where are thine accusers? She said, I don't have any. No man, Lord. You see her calling him Lord? What does that mean? It's got to mean that she obviously accepted him as her Savior. She realized, man, this man is different. He's not throwing stones at me. He's recognizing that, yeah, I'm a sinner, but he's wanting to forgive me of that sin. There's nobody, Lord. And by her own confession, no man, Lord, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, salvation, the world complicates it, religion complicates it, but it is simply a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All relationships have to be started sometime. They don't just happen. Listen, your relationship with your child was started the day they were born. Relationships have to be started. And the same thing with your relationship with Jesus. There has to be a start day. You're not all God's children in this place. There has to be a start day. And listen, June 6, 2003, as a 10-year-old boy, I realized I was a sinner, and I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin, and my relationship with Jesus started on that day. Do you have a day? Do you have a day? This was the day this lady accepted the Lord as her Savior. She got a new Lord, but also she got a new life. All of her life she had been subject to the god of this world, Satan. She had been a prisoner of her own lust and her own desires. However, Jesus came and he unlocked the shackles that had bound her life. The shackles of sin, and he set her free. You see, Jesus specializes in taking wasted, ruined lives and saving them by the good grace of God. Every person who comes to Jesus for salvation receives this new life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. He's the God of second chances. And friend, if you're saved today, it's God's will for you to live close to him, not in a constant grievance with him or someone else. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what you're doing when you're holding stones, ready to throw them at somebody that's hurt you? You're entangling yourself again and again. And if you read that verse further down in verse number 4, Galatians 5:4, the first few words says this, Christ is become of no effect unto you. When you want to walk around with stones, as these religious folks did, Jesus ain't no difference in my life. Let me break that down. That was proper English for you. Jesus ain't no, made no difference. What Paul is ultimately saying is by your own actions, you're identifying as one that has not received the new life in Christ. When Christ comes in, he always makes a difference. Maybe you're like this woman. Maybe your life is wrecked and ruined by sin. Maybe you've been hurt like this woman by folks that should have cared for her and was willing to help her. Maybe you're looking for a compassionate Savior, one who'll make everything right. I want to invite you this morning to come to Jesus. He cares for you just like you are. He loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. And ultimately, He wants to restore you. He wants to deliver you from the bondage of sin. He wants to set you free. If you're not saved this morning, your greatest need is to be saved. Come to Him in childlike faith and say, "Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me of my sin? Come into my heart and save me." That's your greatest need. But if you're guilty this morning of holding stones in your hand towards someone else, I would encourage you to check yourself and drop the stones. You may not be physically throwing stones at someone, but you're carrying them around just in case. Drop the stones. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Jesus didn't